Let's open the service with a word of prayer, Barbara.
Good morning. I see the sermon title today is We're in the Presence of God. So as we are, let's bow our heads and give him thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all of the blessings you bestow on us. We know that our prayer list the past week or two has seemed to grow and grow, but you're aware of their needs, and we hope that you are with them. We give you thanks for bringing Bruce and Betty back to us. We hope they are refreshed, and we will listen to his message this morning to see if we can do more as we're in the presence of God. We thank you. We thank you for all of your blessings. And now, in the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Just a closer walk with you, with a little jazz thrown in, right? How many people were here last Sunday? Okay, oh, most of you. Keep your hands up. How many of you answered the pledge or the whatever to pay something forward this week? Okay, I see you got one hand. And I mean, I did. It was a small thing, but I did actually do it. We had Pat last week, and we want to thank her. She was a worship leader, and she issued this, you know, a challenge to us. Thank you. I couldn't find the word. To pay something forward just for 1 week, because on her 70th birthday, she paid it forward for 70 weeks. So, you know, 1 week didn't seem like too much. Oh, you pay something forward for somebody. You do something good. Somebody who looks like they don't have any money or they're counting it out and you're behind them at McDonald's, you pay.
The idea comes from a movie called Pay It Forward. Right. Where instead of returning the favor back to the person that did you a favor, instead of returning back to them, you pay it forward. You do a favor for someone else.
A favor for someone else. It's a great concept. Okay. This morning I thought I would bring you this story about a little boy. He was waiting out in front of the grocery store for his mother to come out. And while he was sitting there, he was approached by a man who said, "Son, can you tell me where the post office is?" Well, the little boy replied, "Sure. Go straight down the street and a couple of blocks and then turn to your right." The man thanked the boy kindly and then he said, "I'm the new pastor and I'd like for you to come to church on Sunday. I'll show you how to get to heaven." Well, the little boy laughed and he said, "You got to be kidding, right? How can you do that when you don't even know the way to the post office?" Oh, All right, let's open with song this morning. Come Christians, join to sing.
So great to see so many of you. I feel like we've been gone forever. We went camping with the Howards and Carol and Dan Johnson and Gene didn't go. That's right, because he had problems with his motorhome. So, and we offered to help to fix it.
Yeah. Sure you did.
We only called him one time while we were gone to help us with our motorhome. So, because I told him, I said, you have to be on call for us for 24 hours, you know, every week. The whole time we were gone, rather. But we only called him once, and that was on the air conditioner. And then thank you very much, because after we cleaned out the filter and everything, it worked just great. And we closed the window, you know. It's just little things like that, you know, that we didn't know. Okay, any birthdays or anniversaries? First, yes. Oh, yes, Bruce?
19 years, Tuesday.
Tuesday, yay! Yes, guys.
Margaret and I were married Wednesday, July 16th, 1997.
And that's 17 years. Okay. Well, great. All right. You know, I remember when Margaret, when the church first got started, we had a women's group over at the house one time, and it was just kind of getting to know, you know, the women in the church. And so we went around the table, and she says, "Do y'all know how long I've been married?" Now, you know, I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, you know, she's such a sweet person. And I said, okay, I said maybe 45 years, you know, and at that time, you know, 8 years ago, it wasn't that long. So, that, yeah, 9 years, 9 years ago, yeah. So anyway, any birthdays? I saw a hand up over here. Any anniversaries? Okay, our anniversaries and your anniversaries and happy anniversary. Ours is the 15th and yours is the 16th. So, yay, all right. Tomorrow is the deadline for the golf tournament. If you're signing up for the golf tournament, we have to know by tomorrow. If we don't have enough players, we're going to have to cancel. And we don't want to do that. Okay, so if you agree to sign up, let us at least give us the commitment so that we can count our numbers. So if we don't have the numbers, that's just what's going to have to happen. Choir is going to be on Tuesday. And also next Monday, the 21st, Dolores Ellers. Of course, yes, I knew that. I was seeing if y'all are paying attention. So, and you were. All right. Dolores Ellers, who hasn't been here now for the last month, and so if you don't know who she is, neither do I. So, but anyway, it's going to be next Monday, the 21st. Ben's ministry is August the 9th, Ron Estes. They had a meeting yesterday. They had a men's group get together yesterday. And he said, oh, we're going to have to cancel again. And I said, you want me to get up here and announce that you're going to have to cancel again? You know, so he said, no, we'll just get together. So they did. It was really great. So Dinner with Friends is going to be Tuesday, and thank you very much for coming on our anniversary. That's really great. And also, our all-church picnic is going to be August the 24th down at Red Hawk Park. And we're going to supply the hamburgers and hot dogs and all the condiments. And so what we'd like for you to bring is just a side dish or dessert. And if you bring all dessert, he'll be very happy. And what else? Lots of desserts. Yeah, well, they already know that. And just for your information, Fern Cunningham is home with pneumonia, which is, yeah, I know, poor little thing. She's just really having a hard time. Lynn Heidman is doing very well from her back surgery. And we have three prayer pillows out there. One is from Jean Burnett, is for Jean Burnett, rather. That's Jeanette Marshall's mother. She fell, and she's at Swedish Hospital right now. The other is for Keith Ireland, Carol Johnson's father. He has been very ill, and he's home now. And the other was for Beatrice Fadschild. This is Lynn Sarnes' mother, who passed away not too long ago. And on that note, I got this letter in the mail Friday, and after I stopped crying, it's very, very emotional. I need to get my glasses. Okay. It's an open letter to the congregation of Eagle Bend Community Church. Dear fellow members of this small church congregation, please let me start this message with this abbreviated self-identification. I am a very proud member of this small but very special church. My name has frequently appeared in the weekly prayer listings, and I have, as have several others, received a prayer pillow from that important ministry. Beyond this, I would wish to remain anonymous, primarily because I believe this letter of thanks and appreciation could be authored by any number of our church members. Rather than wondering about the authorship, I would rather you assume that the author is that fellow member that you befriended and supported earlier this morning, or perhaps after last Sunday's service. And rather than being directed to the congregation as a whole, please imagine this as a personal acknowledgement of thanks from the person that your kindness touched. Having appeared on the prayer list, I can personally attest to the kindness and supportive concern that is constantly presented to me by this entire congregation. I cannot begin to express the full meaning of your kindness and your expressed concerns for me, and I know that others that are in need of your special intercession must feel the same way as I do. When you inquire as to my well-being, I can see the sincerity in your eyes. When you sometimes exaggerate the truth and say I'm looking better, I overlook your exaggeration, but thank you from the bottom of my heart for the kindness of your gesture. When you clasp my shoulder and say you're praying for me, it moves my heart to witness your sincere concerns for me and for your total faithfulness that your prayers will be answered in God's chosen way. Also, having received a prayer pillow from the congregation, let me share with you what that wonderful gift means to me. Sometimes in the dark of night, when I'm alone with my thoughts and concerns, I am overcome with the need to feel closer to Christ. I've discovered that I can achieve a feeling of nearness by touching or holding the prayer pillow. When I'm in physical contact with this prayer pillow, I can feel the love that went into every stitch put into its construction. I can feel the concern and compassion that accompanied every tie stitched into the fabric. I can appreciate the many prayers that are represented by tied knots in the pillow. What a wonderful, wonderful gift from the congregation. When I embrace this pillow, it seems that Jesus is responding with his embrace of me, as if I'm being held in the hands of our Lord. I can't imagine a greater gift. For these things and so much more, I again thank every member of our church. My thanks are inadequate in comparison to the value of your gifts of love and support, but be assured that your kindness is greatly appreciated and valued. As you give, so share. As you give, so shall you receive. And your giving has been most generous and gracious. Thank you again for your kindness, and God bless one and all. And it has a prayer. It says a suggested prayer accompanying the foregoing letter to the congregation. Our dearest Lord, please accept this, our prayer. Lord, thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon our congregation each and every day. Thank you especially, Lord, for your finding and assembling a wonderful team of church leaders that guide the direction of this church. We are blessed to have Pastor Bruce Miner as our spiritual leader and primary teacher of your faith, and his wonderful wife, Betty, who, regardless of official church position, strikes me as our church house mother and whose every action demonstrates that she loves every member of our congregation without reservation. And Barbara McKean, our worship leader, who leads each service as we worship and praise you through scripture, song, and prayer under her guidance. And for our music director, Tom Wirtz, who produces more beautiful music with less resources than seems possible. Thank you also, Lord, for those many people who serve the church behind the scenes in the administrative and ministry areas of the congregation. And lastly, Lord, thank you also for the many volunteers that provide necessary services to our small Christian community. We ask you, Lord, to continue to lead our leaders as they lead us in our small church in the direction you have chosen for us. Ensure for us that we, in fact, do your work in your name and your everlasting glory. Do not let us forget, Lord, that everything we are and everything we accomplish, we owe entirely to your grace. Lord, we ask that you be with your faithful servants, our brothers and sisters, in your name, that find themselves in parts of this world where your followers are routinely treated unjustly, oftentimes to the point of death because they refuse to renounce your deity. Be with them and show us the ways we can contribute to their safety and perhaps even their survival. Please forgive our shortcomings when we fail to defend you, when we fail to fully represent the meaning of our Christian beliefs, especially in contrast to those willing to suffer death in their faithfulness to you. Lord, as you continue to pass your grace to our congregation, please add an additional small portion for Kay Hayes, Linda Shirk, and Margaret Smith, so that they might further distribute the grace to those members and friends served by our prayer and Prayer Pillow Ministries. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful work these people and all those who help them accomplish in doing your work through your loving grace. We ask these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that amazing? And I want to thank all of you people who are on the board and who do the prayer ministry from the bottom of my heart. Because if it wasn't for Linda pestering to say, we used to do this in our other church, you know, and it's like, okay, you do it, and we'll get going on it, you know. So I want to thank Linda very much for getting this going, because this really was great. And then we had another one from Betty Latham. It says, thanks so much for your thoughts and prayers. I was pleasantly surprised to receive the pillow. Thank you to all who participated in making it. Betty Latham. Okay, I got to sit down. Yeah. I got to get up here and read now. Okay. Dear Lord, you call us to be people of faith, yet we are often people with doubts. We doubt that love can grow again in relationships where anger and bitterness reign supreme. You know the strength of love and the power of prayer. Help us be faithful lovers. We doubt that peace can come in the Middle East, in Syria, in Palestine, where hatred and racism reign supreme. You know that peace is growing there. Help us to be faithful peacemakers. We doubt that the hungry can be fed in Africa, where despair and hopelessness reign supreme. You know that there is enough food in the world. Help us to be generous and faithful. You specialize in impossibilities. You walked on water. You heal the nations. You forgive sins. You set the captive free. You set us free from our captivities. This morning, we pray for people here who are filled with doubts, who wonder whether you exist and whether you are listening to our prayers, who wonder what this whole community is about. We pray for people who doubt the purpose of life, who wonder whether to end it all, who face feelings of meaninglessness and despair. Even when we have that sinking feeling, give us the wisdom to turn to you. Lord, we want to believe. Help our unbelief. Give us faith, small as a mustard seed, so that we can be in your faithful people, believing in your power to save, believing in your power to reign supreme, believing that we can share this good news with everyone we meet. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We do have tissues in the back of the room if anyone needs a moment here to gather themselves together. Oh, that was beautiful, Betty. I don't know who wrote it, but it was. I'm glad that what we do touches people. You know, we try. So I'm so glad. And this next song sort of speaks to that. It says, "It is well with my soul."
From Acts chapter 7, verses 47 through 49. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made by hands, as the prophet says, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things?"
It's time now in our service where we take up a collection of our tithes and offerings and give back a little of what God has given to us. If you'd like to stand, we can sing the doxology together.
blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for our blessings. We thank you for the freedom that we have in this country. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together in freedom and worship you and to support your church here in our community, in our city, in our state, and in our nation, and in the world. Amen. Of trios and quartets, and thank you to the Eagle Bend Co-Ed Trio. Very nice. If we look back over the centuries, we see that God has made his home in four different places. Well, you know, you might wonder about that, but let's look at this situation. We're going to take a look at those four places where God tried to make his home and how it wound up. You know, God is not an absentee landlord. He doesn't create us, provide us for our salvation, and then leave us alone while he wanders around the universe enjoying what he has created. Some people say there are multiverses, but if there are, then God's there too, isn't he? That's for sure. But many feel that God just saves us and shoves us out on our own, and they think that he might look in occasionally on what we're doing, but that isn't so. There are two passages in the Bible that talk about the presence of God, among many. These are just two. One is Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. I am with you always. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. So what can man do to me? God is with me. You know, God is with you all of the time. He's ever with his children. He's never out of your presence. That means you can't hide from God. You can't leave here today and put them in a box and say, see you next week, and I'll open the box when I come back to church. That's not the way it works. I want to speak about this matter of God's presence and try to clear up some confusion about where God is. Where does God live? Well, some would say God lives in the church. Well, we do call the church of the house of God, but he doesn't have his only address in the church, does he? In fact, our church is only a church when we're here. Other times, whether we're here in the interior room, it could be a card room, a meeting room, a dance hall, a restaurant, a video room, whatever. But when we are here, that is with the presence of God. This is the presence of God when we are here. David tells us in Psalm 139 that God is everywhere all at once. That word is called omni, always present. In fact, let's see if we can understand more about the presence of God. I want all of you to enjoy life better because you have the presence of God with you all of the time. You must first know where he is. Well, God has made and used four different houses over our creation, over our Christian history. God's primary house was when he dwelt in Adam. The design? Adam had a three-part house. He was made in the image of God. He had the body, soul, and spirit. The body allowed access to the physical world. The soul allowed access to the emotional world. And the spirit allowed access to God himself in the spiritual world. Now, the spirit is what separates us from the animals. Some would call it a conscience. Well, sometimes I think my dog has a conscience because when he does something wrong, I think I know he knows it's wrong, but he doesn't have the ability to worship. He doesn't have the capacity to worship God, and no creature in God's creation has that ability to worship God or even know the difference between right and wrong. Well, the first thing that happened with the design of Adam was the desecration. When Adam sinned, God pulled himself away from Adam and moved out. God will not abide in a dirty, sin-filled house like Adam had, nor did he remain with Adam. And after Adam sinned and God moved out, Adam's house became desolate. He was not the same person. He was separated from God. He began to suffer the curse that occurred to him because he had sinned against God. He had to work. He had to suffer pain. He had to endure the heat and the toil of the day, like all of us have had to do. When his spirit died, his soul took over. Man from that day has lived life as he pleased, because that's the way a man is. We do the natural thing. By the natural man is led by a soul. But apart from God, your soul is dead. It doesn't do what it should be doing. Literally, the house of God in Adam was left desolate when God left him. It's like a Christmas tree. You can cut down a Christmas tree. As soon as you cut it down, of course, it's no longer alive. It's slowly dying. And it takes a while before the death becomes evident. That's the same true of a human house that is a human house, which is empty of God. That's what happens. The destruction. Eventually, Adam died physically, didn't he? And it said in Genesis 5:5, so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Just a few years short of Methuselah. The house that he lived in, his body went from dust to dust and ashes to ashes. And that's true of every one of us here today. Are we going to go from ashes to ashes and dust to dust? Are we going to have a reincarnated, glorified body that goes to the Lord? And a reincarnation is only when you go to heaven. It's not coming back here on earth at all. Everyone who is without God is dry and powerless on the inside. Well, the second thing that happened was that God decided, well, I'm going to dwell in the temple. So he designed the temple, and the temple was made of the outer court, the inner court, and the innermost court, also known as the Holy of Holies. The outer court was a human body, the place of sacrifice. The inner court was a human soul, the gathering and hearing of the word where they gathered together. And the innermost court was where the high priest met with God. The only high priest could meet with God once a year, that's all. But through idolatry and desecration, the people of Israel defiled the temple. Therefore, God moved out. Remember what Jesus said about the temple. He said in Matthew 21:13, and he said to me, and he said, it is written that my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The desolation. The people still carried out the ancient rituals. They did all the things that were right on the outside, but God was gone. Sadly, they didn't even notice. Many of churches in the world today have that situation. They do the right things, all the ritual, all the glory, all the buildings, all the heart, none of the caring. Our society is rapidly becoming a secular society. When Betty and I were in Northern Europe about a month ago, in the Baltic and in Amsterdam and Copenhagen and Stockholm and Helsinki, those cities are beautiful. They are amazing, but they are secular. They are godless societies. Very few percentage of the people are actually Christians or go to church. Even though their state religion is Lutheran, they still don't go to church. The churches are dying. Well, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD because it was unfit to be habited by God, and he didn't need it anymore, so he allowed it to be destroyed. You think God would have allowed the temple to be destroyed if it was honoring him? Of course not. Of course not. But then God's perfect house came along, didn't it? Jesus himself. Jesus was God's perfect house, but even that didn't last. That was the third house. Jesus is God's perfect house, but even that didn't last. Jesus called his own body a temple. His house was indwelled by the Spirit. He in fact, was God incarnate in a human body. This temple was designed to be the place for the perfect sacrifice, and that's what happened. It was a perfect sacrifice. This temple, Jesus, was desecrated as none other had been through the trials and the torture and the crucifixion. Literally, all the sins of humanity were placed upon Jesus' shoulders and on his soul and on his body. Jesus was left desolate. God allowed that to happen. He died alone. This is one of the great mysteries of the ages, that God could turn his back on himself, on his own son, and Jesus could cry out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? Imagine God saying that to himself. But because God became man and lowered himself to become a man, he was able to do that. Well, Jesus, the earthly home of God at that point, was destroyed. He died, didn't he? All the suffering was for us. But now we come to God's permanent home. And what is that? I wonder what you're thinking, what God's permanent home is. Here's where the pattern changes. And it has changed for all eternity and will never change again. God has stopped moving around. He has found his home. He has found his home. And that dwelling is you. God dwells in you. The believer has been reconstructed, renewed, glorified, and made a fit dwelling for the Almighty God. God is in all of us. He dwells with us and will be in you, as it says in John 14:16. He dwells with you and will be in you. The Christian is literally a living, breathing temple of God. That's what we are. You know, it's amazing. It's the essence of the New Testament, the new covenant, the new contract, the new lease that God has given to be with us. Not the old covenant. Not a temple made of stone, but a human body. When you get saved, you get changed. God moves into you and changes you. He moves into your heart and soul. What a thought that is. Doesn't that make you feel special? And when you're saved, that God changes you and takes over you? Wow. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price, the death of Christ on the cross. Therefore, honor God with your body. Indeed, God the Father created our bodies. God the Son redeemed our bodies. And God the Holy Spirit indwells in our bodies all the time. He makes our body the very temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, how do we become, how do we improve our the temple of our soul, which is our body? We don't do that by going to the gym, although that helps. We don't do that by going on the South Beach diet or Nutrisystems. That all helps. It doesn't help you by doing a cleansing, but by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior. The moment we do that, then the Holy Spirit indwells in us and takes over us and captures us and will be with us forever. Our future insurance and glory. As the Holy Spirit resides in us, we are to honor God because this body is not ours, is it? It's just here for a short time. First Peter says, we have indeed been bought with a price. It was not gold or silver or other perishable things which we were redeemed. It was with the precious, unblemished blood of Jesus Christ. And that is what makes our temple, the people we are, so special. As Christian bodies are God's temple, so we use them to glorify God. It's not how we look or how we function, whether we have a cane or a replacement hip or a knee or whatever. It's the way you function in life, in the way you are now. He hears their praise. He hears praise for people singing. It doesn't matter if you're singing off key or on key. It doesn't matter, does it? God wants to hear your praise. He'll correct it so it sounds great to him. That's for sure. Our bodies are the shrine of the sacred place where God is revered and worshipped and honored. Even though he will never leave us, it's possible that we can grieve the Holy Spirit by what we do because we are sinners, aren't we? And we also fall far short of what we should do. And that happens to me every day. Just ask Betty. Right? Ah, no. But I'm going to absolve her of that sin. But it's so hard to do the things properly and correctly. And that's why we have this holy temple that we have as our body. St. Paul told us, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. That can be very difficult, to live in the Spirit, to no longer satisfy the desires of a evil world. This house, the temple of God, cannot be desecrated. The holy area has been sealed off and nothing gets out because God has sealed us to him. You know, we sin, but all of our sin, past, present, and future, is forgiven through the actions of Jesus Christ on the cross. God cannot depart from us once we are sealed with him because it is ingrained in our temple. A few lessons to consider. There are five S words I'd like to mention this morning. Salvation. Salvation is not so much about man getting into heaven, it's about God getting into man. It's all about living for God and doing his will, as opposed to the will of the world and the devil. Our men's meeting on Saturday, we were talking about that. We were talking about the fact that the world is taking over our religion. Our religion is becoming less and less a power in our world. Unless we as the church and as Christians individually out there, not here on Sunday mornings, but out there after you leave, stand for what is right. Stand for what says in the Bible, and I will not change. Whenever the truth is presented in the Bible, I will not change that at all. And that's my commitment to you as your pastor, that's for sure. I will not change what the Bible says about morality in this world. Security. Well, I know that I'm internally secure because God is no longer moving around trying to find a home. He's found it in me. He's found it in you. God is in you, in your heart, in your soul. You know, God is not finished with us yet, and the third one is sanctification. We aren't perfect, but God likes a fixer-upper, and he's got a lot of work to do, doesn't he? I know. He's rebuilding, remaking, and remodeling us into the image of Jesus. That's what God does with us. He works with us to remodel us. The fourth one is spirituality. God lives in us. Just don't dress up on Sunday and pretend to meet him in church. He's with you all the time. You know, use him all the time. He's with you. Use the Holy Spirit. you are God's temple, and because of this truth, every day is a holy day. Every place is a holy place. No matter where you go, wherever you walk, we're going to sing a hymn a little while. We are standing on holy ground. And that's what you do when you walk through this world. You are standing on holy ground because you are God's temple. You have God's spirit within you. And the fifth one is service. I don't care where you are, how old you are, how young you are, how able you are, how disabled you are. Don't insult God by saying he cannot use you. I know people in rehabilitation centers that are over 100 years old that are still witness to Christ every day. He lives in you as you continually yield to him. Constantly depend upon him. He will use you, his temple, for your glory. What kind of shape is God's temple in today? Well, perhaps it would be good to start a new home improvement project. I know I try to start one every day, but I kind of, you know what happens when you start a project, you don't get it finished. Are you willing to be all that God wants you to be? Keep him in your house, for it is the temple of the Lord. And now we're going to sing one of our favorite songs that Betty and I know. Hopefully most of you know. It is so powerful, and I hope we can use it more often. It's easy to learn. It's called We Are Standing on Holy Ground.
We're going to let Tom's going to sing the verses, and we'll join in the chorus. You'll know that, I'm sure.
If you know it, feel free to sing.
Certainly, sing.
Just guessing most if you don't know the verse.
You're
great.
She knows it. Sing.
As I walk through the door, I sense his presence. If you have the need,
Our Jesus, our Savior Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, gathered together with his disciples in the upper room for the Passover feast. He took the bread and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you." In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he said, "Drink all of it. This blood is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you can in remembrance of me." Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Once again, it's really great to see so many people here. We're going to be knocking the walls out before very long in this little room. As we prepare to leave, let us sing together, Until Then.
You and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.